This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Today, I am joined in the JPR studios by a musical duo out of Austin, Texas, Dawn and Hawks, Miranda Dawn and Chris Hawks. Their debut record is called Yours and Mine. Information online at Dawn and Hawks, spelled HAWKES.com. Miranda, Chris, welcome to JPR.
Hi, thanks for having us.
So, Miranda, you are originally an Austinite. Mm-hmm. Chris, you are not, but you are from elsewhere in Texas?
Yeah, North Texas. I've been in Austin for a decade this Halloween.
Tell me a little bit about how the two of you got together, because if I understand correctly, Chris, you were in audio production and actually done some work at University of North Texas?
That's right.
That's the big hot jazz school.
Yeah,
with the jazz. 12 o'clock band, the 1 o'clock band, the 2 o'clock
right.
band, right?
Yeah.
And Miranda, you were doing nonprofit work.
Mm-hmm,
what kind of nonprofit work?
I worked with programs that developed curriculum for after-school clubs and summer camps for young girls. It was girl empowerment curriculum, which was really fun, actually. I loved it a lot.
But somehow, you ended up making a transition to making music together. How and when did that first happen?
For me, it was a choice to become a solo artist, and I started writing. Well, I'd been writing music since I was 9 years old, but I hadn't started performing it. So I started doing that following my own dream, as the little girls in camp were urging me to do as well. And I formed a big band, like a blues soul funk band, and I went on tour. And then during that same time, Chris had moved to Austin. We had never met before, but he had his own solo career as well as a singer-songwriter.
Right. I grew up in a musical family, but I wouldn't say that the North Texas area was inherently musically focused like Austin is. There's a lot of people there, so there's a lot of things going on. But by the time I got into college, after going to the University of North Texas, it sort of made me want to pursue a community of musicians, and Austin seemed like every time it came up or any time I visited, I was always just drawn to it. So finally made the move to Austin, and I really liked the support of songwriting in Austin. That was a real focus. And as a songwriter myself, I started off playing guitar and singing, and then songwriting kind of came as sort of a component of that. And then being in Austin, it just all went together. And we met one night at a blues bar in East Austin. We were just dancing, and I asked her to dance. She was standing at the bar drinking the same kind of beer as me, and I asked her to dance. And she
was
said,
it a shiner?
Yes. It was. It's
it was
like
a
you
shiner.
Were there.
How did you know that? And she said yes, and we started dancing. And while we were dancing, we had a conversation about what we do, and we found out we were both singer-songwriters, but we didn't actually start playing together. We had our own individual bands and had our own pursuits. And Miranda set the stage for us meeting. She had a songwriting showcase because she's been the organizer her whole life. She organized, like she was saying, the nonprofits. She started.
There's
this
a lot of nonprofit in music making. So
oh yeah,
it's fitting.
It makes sense.
Dawn and Hawks are my guests live today on Jefferson Public Radio. The debut record is called Yours and Mine. There was music out that predates that debut. There was an EP and also a single that did pretty well. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. Miranda Dawn, Chris Hawks are live in the JPR studios today. DawnandHawks.com is their web address. All right, what do you guys want to play first for us?
Why don't we play, we'll play you the first track from our newest record.
It's been here a long time, and still it doesn't feel like mine. If you're searching and you find you're not so alone, let's go there to find that silver line. It's been here a long time, and still it doesn't feel like mine. If you're searching let's go there to find. Let's go there to find. Let's go there to find that silver line.
That is Don and Hawks live today on Jefferson Public Radio. Music from their debut record called Yours and Mine. Miranda Don and Chris Hawks. Find them online, donandhawks.com. Okay, so in those formulative months and weeks, you guys had each had a musical career that was going along, and that first opportunity to perform together, did you know immediately that the sum was more than the two individual parts?
I think they're under the surface. Intuitively, we knew. I don't think we talked about it right away as much as we acted on it. So we were sitting around a song circle, and my dad was actually part of the song circle. Chris didn't know that he was my dad at the time. My dad was playing mandolin, though. And he said, "Hey, Miranda, play that song, Forever Happily, that you wrote." And I had written it so many years before, and no one had ever heard it except for maybe my dad. So, you know, when your dad asks you to play a song, you say yes. And so I started playing it. And Chris and I, you know, we were just friends, and we had just been a part of the same song circle, heard each other with just guitar and voice for the first time, I think maybe that night, and which is pretty different than our respective bands that had all so much instrumentation behind us. So it was hearing a different sound. So I started playing Forever Happily, and Chris picked up the guitar and started singing along harmony, and as if he knew it. And there's no way he could have known this song. At the end of the song, I mean, I think we both realized it was special because he turned to me immediately and he said, "That's your song." And I said, "Yes." And he said, "And have you recorded it?" And I said, "No. And I don't think I can record it without your harmonies now." And he said, "I want to record that song. Let's do it." So we got to work doing that. And that recording was the song that he submitted without me knowing to Kerrville Folk Festival's Emerging Songwriter Competition.
How'd that turn out for you?
Really well. Really well. And we performed at Kerrville Folk Festival together for the first time on this big stage, and felt like folk stars for the day. So, yeah, it had a life of its own kind of from the very first time we sang together.
There is no shortage of singer-songwriter duos coming out of Austin, Texas, right? And sure, the stark reality of it is that many of them do not become household names. Even fewer of them become household faces, yet to a large degree, that is exactly what happened to you guys as a result of appearing on The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
Whose idea was that, to try to get on the show, to get on the show? How did that start?
Their casting department reached out to us.
And I don't know how they found us. You know, we don't have a huge online presence, at least at the time. We didn't. We had been touring all over Texas and done some Midwest runs. I think we were on our way to do our first West Coast run when they asked us to audition.
But our duo is kind of in its impetus. Our solo careers had more behind it really at the time than together, the collective duo.
But, you know, they said, hey, come be on this show as a duo and sing some songs. And I thought, this is so funny. They're going to fly us out to L.A., which is great because we're already out there for our West Coast tour. But they're going to hear us and think, these songwriters, these folky kids, we're going to send them back to Austin. And they didn't. They ushered us right into the next round and the next round. And next thing I knew, Adam Levine was turning around. It was very bizarre, totally TV world.
Yeah, it was a different world, but they were so welcoming to what we naturally do. They're like, just keep doing what you're doing. And and from that standpoint, we're like, let's do this until they ask us to step outside of, you know, what feels, what aligns with, you know, our musical direction and just see, you know, see how far they'll let us be ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, Chris and I are into trying pretty much anything as long as it feels right, and we follow our intuition a lot on that. And this, it felt right the whole time. We got to sing a Beatles song, which was one of my all-time favorite Beatles songs, and it was the 50th anniversary of when the Beatles had first appeared on TV. So that also
felt
really special. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It just, we followed that, and then within the 90 seconds that we appeared on TV, millions of viewers saw that and started sending us letters and notes, and
I did the math. We would have had to have played to 1,000 people every night, 365 nights a year, for something like 12 years or something, something like that, to play to that same amount of people. So it was, when people talk about do it for the exposure, there's no greater version, you know?
Well, from a viewer's perspective, of course, the show is a giant frenzy.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
the social media component of this is enormous. When you're in the space, though, does it feel like you're playing to a big, appreciative, welcoming crowd? Or does it feel like you're playing to a bunch of people with their arms crossed, wanting to be pessimistic about anything?
I was totally positive, actually.
Yeah.
Everyone involved in the show is really optimistic and positive, very genuine and authentic, which I think all of those words don't go together with TV very often. So I was pleasantly surprised by that experience.
We've had our fair share of playing in the corner restaurants and bars for people that are just there to have a good time and have a bachelorette party and don't really care about folky singers. So it didn't feel uphill. If anything, it felt like it was a real nice elevated platform with everything kind of meant to sort of put you in your best light.
I think also everyone who goes on the show, they sort of get out of it what they put into it.
Yeah.
And as long as you are yourself, then the people who resonate with yourself are going to connect with you through whatever avenue, whether it's through TV or radio or, you know, whatever way you get your music out there. And this experience was no different than that for us. It was just on a bigger platform.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to connect with our tribe, our people, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and you had a couple of people from vastly different music worlds that became instant fans, Adam and also Shakira.
Yeah.
One would think that you would be able to parlay that into kind of an extended run on the show, but...
Well, it's still a TV show. So there were aspects of it where it was a TV show, and that's so quick. Like TV and film, you know, it's just so fast. So that kind of came and went pretty quickly. It was more the relationships that we got from people that might not have heard us otherwise, you know? So, yeah.
Don and Hawks are my guests today live on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is called Yours and Mine, actually came out just about exactly a year ago. Their website is donandhawks.com. What do you guys want to play next?
Let's play another track from the record.
All right.
This is a song we actually came about on the West Coast. Miranda wrote this at a songwriting retreat. And the challenge was to write 10 songs in 8 hours. And Miranda wrote 11 songs in those 8 hours. And this is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
life. Wrong place, wrong time. Oh, must mine. I could have kissed you when I first saw your face. I knew your eyes like I'd known you for decades. But to hold your hand in the palm of my own, a heart of man, and his love cannot be
That is Dawn and Hawks live today on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is called Yours and Mine. For those of you tremendous audiophiles, Miranda Dawn on the Gibson, Chris Hawks on the Taylor, if you can actually pick that out over the radio. So I mentioned that there was this wave, and you guys have talked about the number of folks that have experienced you as a result of that 90-second audition on The Voice. Mm-hmm. The single, the Beatles tune that you guys played on that show, ended up going to number one briefly on the Billboard Rock chart. Your previous EP, which is called Golden Heart, rose all the way to number 2 on the singer-songwriter charts and made the top 25 on the folk charts. Mm-hmm. Did you have any idea that was going to happen? Did you have a hope that that was kind of stuff was going to happen as a result of being on the show?
Oh my gosh, that was such a surprise. So they filmed at least our three rounds, before we went home. And so we went home knowing that we were not going to continue on the show the day before the show actually began to air. So no one even knew we were on the show. And then, so I think we were sort of going, okay, well, that was a fun 6-week stay out in California, and we know that didn't last too long, but you know, the world will see it and it'll be cool, a little memory, a little vacation, one to tell the grandkids about. And then the very next day it premiered, and it was just incredible to see how quickly it rose, and that everyone enjoyed it, loved it, that we had all of these new fans, and then that they went out and bought our original music on top of that. Yeah. And enjoyed that and loved that. I mean, these were songs we had written and recorded in our living room, and suddenly they were in the living rooms of families all over the country.
Yeah, that was probably the best part, right? To see that people were interested in your original stuff.
It was so great. It was like, it was as if we released our record all over again, you know, because the amount of people that got to hear it for the first time, it was, even though it technically came out in 2012, it felt like a 2014 release because of all that. And
there's so many different outcomes on the show for everyone who's involved. They kind of have their own journey. And we thought, you know, we were only on for a few rounds, so obviously our journey's very small. But it's rare that your original music is downloaded as much as ours was, or that your audition goes to number one. So unexpected. And a really, really sweet surprise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you were able to turn that into a successful fundraising campaign that helped create the new record too, right?
Right.
Yeah. Such generous fans pitched in, you know, $25 to $200 here and there, and helped us create our first full-length album, which has been really fun. And we sent out T-shirts to all of the people who helped fund it. So they're all part of our Golden Hearts Club is what we call them. And it's fun to travel all over the country and see people who are complete strangers show up to these shows knowing that they helped make that album possible, and suddenly you feel like it's a family reunion, you know, with a stranger.
Yeah. And having played in other bands before in different formats, it's so, I don't know, humbling in a way to the fans that come out and the energy that people put forth around our material and our performances. That's just a real... It's very kind, and it's a wonderful experience being around that kind of energy with people too.
So at shows, have you managed to sidestep that? I just want to see, I've just seen a face.
Yeah,
you can avoid that pretty well.
Even if people do just want to see that song, that's a great song to be asked to play. I mean, we could have covered so many other musicians, but I mean, it was my favorite Beatles song we got to cover. So, and we got to make it our own, which was wonderful as well, and add our harmonies to it. So we play that song at just about every show, and
we added another Beatles cover in our show. That's another one of our favorites from the same version of the American release of Rubber Soul. We're Beatles fans. So.
Yeah.
Well, Almost Mine, Yours and Mine, going all the way back to that initial night when you asked the pretty girl across the room to dance.
Yeah.
You have successfully completed that journey because coinciding with the release of the record last summer, you also announced that you were married.
Right.
Congratulations to the two of you.
Thank you.
It's now been a year, right, since that record. Mm-hmm. Relatively new to all of us in Radio Land and listeners around, but these are songs that have been in the catalog now for a while for you. What is right now? What's the next 6 months like for you? Still touring for the record, or are you already looking down the road at something else?
So we spent most of this last year touring to promote the records. We did Midwest and all over Texas and the West Coast and some of the East Coast, and we've really gotten to plant the seeds, and now we're growing those roots deeper. And I think the way that we water those seeds is by continuing to put more music out there. And so we write a lot in the car while we're driving from city to city, and we have a whole album's worth of new material, which I always want to play the new stuff. I almost wanted to play it today, and Chris was like, save it for the new record, because after this West Coast tour, we're heading home and spending most of the winter months at home recording the new album. So hopefully next year we'll have brand new material for you.
Well, you've got a heck of a pretty journey now, because you're leaving here and driving all the way to where?
San Francisco from mm-hmm. here.
Yeah, if you look at our, you're like, you guys are either attracted to
the most beautiful areas
or, yeah, so, like, it's Colorado and the West Coast. Those are our, you know, our two spots that seem to, like, inspire us, you know, the most.
Highest altitudes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Chris, many years ago, you were told something that is told to most guys that are in a band. Dude, we don't want your girlfriend in the band.
Oh.
It's working out okay.
Yeah, it's great. I actually have a friend, a singer-songwriter friend of ours, who told me, he was like, I don't know if I'd be in a band with my girlfriend.
This was in the very beginning.
At the very beginning. After I don't even know if he'd met Miranda yet. And then he came to a show and he was like, dude, forget everything I said. In fact, I don't want to offend you. I love you and I liked your previous material, but this is way better. He was like, this is what you were supposed to be doing. He was like, so having that support from people that would normally say, like, and you hear that, like, I would normally say, don't do this, but.
Well, you guys sound great in the studio today.
Thanks for coming in.
Miranda Dawn and Chris Hawks, known as Dawn and Hawks, my in-studio guest today. The debut record is called Yours and Mine. Information is online at dawnandhawks.com. Will you play us one more?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Life's like writing the perfect song. It starts off humming till you're singing strong. Keep on strumming till you're said and done. And if it's a good one, we'll play it even when you're gone.
Life is a good song,
written verse by verse.
It's never finished, never rehearsed.
Sometimes you got everyone singing along.
Other times you're the only voice wondering if you got the words wrong.
Sometimes it just comes naturally. Sometimes you gotta block. Oh, so you make up something just to fill the spot. Till the right words come along, and they always do. Every moment is an edit in a song that's never through. Stars aligned and you just rode ahead. Hear the choir singing, voices leading the way. Follow what they're saying, have faith in what you'll create. Cause life is like writing the perfect song. It starts off humming till you're singing strong. Well, you keep on strumming till you're set and done. If it's a good one, we'll play it even when you're gone. Well, if it's a good one, we'll play it even when you're
That is Dawn and Hawks live today on Jefferson Public Radio. The debut record is called Yours and Mine. It's Miranda Dawn and Chris Hawks today. DawnandHawks.com is the web address. Miranda, Chris, nice to meet you. Thank you for coming by.
Thank you so much for having us.